Welcome to the Relaunch Podcast, and so happy that you are here today for this conversation, because when I think about what we're talking about today, everybody needs to hear these messages, because it is so relevant in everything you do in your life, in trying to become that relevant person, the one that's going to disrupt whatever industry you're in, the one that's going to allow you to really stand out amongst the many. And so today I have Jennifer Fry. She is the CEO of Appreciated Asset Business Solutions. They create, build, and fill sales pipelines for their clients. Hey, we're talking sales here, everyone. And so have you ever thought about how you're going to be a disruptor in your industry? Have you ever thought about what it means to be a disruptor and how that impacts your sales? Well, there's a lot of misconceptions around sales. There's a lot of important things that you can do from a mindset perspective. We're going to go all into that. And Jennifer has created a disruptor designer method, and it creates absolute precision messaging that will light a fire. And you know how I like to ignite clients. She's going to ignite sales. She's been doing this. She's so darn good at it. She's going to be giving us all of those key tips, takeaways. She lives in Charleston, South Carolina. She's with her 9-year-old son, Max. And we are going to get into how she helps women, especially single women. And I was one of those for 7 years with 3 kids, redefine having it all. How good is that?
You're listening to the Relaunch Podcast with your host, Hillary DeCesar, best-selling author, TV host, speaker, and 23 years as a neuro-business performance coach. She will merge modern personal development, up-to-date neuroscience, and ancient wisdom with a twist, while using her one and only 3HQ method. Get ready to be empowered in your journey of self-reinvention and ignite your professional dreams. Each episode unfolds inspiring stories of remarkable relaunches, revealing the tips and secrets behind them. Join us in these conversations, offering you the insights and tools needed for your own extraordinary relaunch.
Jennifer, welcome. So excited to have you here.
This is awesome. That was quite the layup. Thank you.
Well, I got to tell you, you're my type of gal. And I'm like, okay, yeah, let's go there. So we're going to start with the whole significant relaunch, because I gave a little bit of a, you know, intro into it. But what do you think has been that most significant relaunch that has really changed the trajectory of where you are right now and who you are?
In my business, the biggest relaunch was when I really decided to rebuild my business model. It was during COVID, so there was a lot else going on, but I was getting a lot of job offers to be salespeople for people. And look, I make a terrible employee. Most entrepreneurs do. But also I realized that they didn't need a salesperson. They just needed more opportunities, and I could do that. So really developed out this consultative service. That was the most significant relaunch that we've had in the business, because it changed
everything. Because I believe your business is a direct reflection of who you are. Mm-hmm. What was happening during this time? Was this the time that you were relaunching your relationship? And take me back a little bit
more.
Yeah, because you know, for people listening, it's like, okay, yeah, we're getting in, we're changing our business. We get that COVID happened, but it all kind of came together as a massive relaunch for you.
Yeah. And
I'd really love for you to share that story.
Sure. So a few years before that, I had turned 40 and at the time was in a very, very toxic, unhealthy marriage. And facing my 40th birthday, was the biggest relaunch because I decided that there was no way I was going to enter the next decade doing the same thing. And so I did change everything. I ended up there.
How long were you married for?
11 years.
11 years. And at that time, when you made this decision, how old was your son?
He was 5.
So you had a young, you know, youngie, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, what about the marriage wasn't working for you?
Everything. How long do we have? here's the thing. You can't have a relationship where one person is doing the work. It doesn't matter how committed you are. It doesn't matter how bad you want it. But at the end of the day, being alone is better than being in something unsafe and unhealthy. And we were in a situation that was very, very unhealthy and becoming increasingly unsafe for us. And I had to drop the idea that anyone else's opinion mattered because no one else was living my life. No one else was living through the terrible things that we were living through. And it could not continue. It was escalating and it was just getting worse and worse. And hitting 40 was such a wake-up call for me that it's like, this isn't changing. This isn't getting better. This was like this my entire decade of my 30s. I'm not doing this again for another 10 years to see if it changes, to see if it gets better.
It's incredible what you're saying, that it was the significance of the birthday coming up that caused you to say, okay, you reassessed what had happened in the decade prior. And as you said, things were getting worse. Things were progressing and it wasn't a good environment for you or your son. Mm-hmm. When did you actually finally make the decision that you were going to do this? Was it right before the 40th? Was it right after? And what did you do? How did you do it? Because there's so many people out there right now that are listening and thinking, wow, I'm in kind of a relationship that's I don't want to take into my next decade.
Yeah. It was 2 days before my 40th birthday. And there was an incident that was, there was no coming back from it for me. It became very black and white. And physically, my safety was, I was in jeopardy. So, as scary as that was, I'm incredibly grateful for it because it was so black and white for me from there on. And, you know, I think that depends kind of what your situation is as to what to do next. I was so scared that I was going to make a mistake. I was so scared I was going to regret it. I was so scared that I was jumping the gun or I hadn't tried everything. But at that point, it was so black and white to me. But what I wish I knew earlier, that it doesn't have to get like it's going there. I wish I realized all of the times that I was physically intimidated, that should have been enough.
Now, when you say physically intimidated, what do you mean?
Someone lying behind your car or blocking the door so you couldn't leave a room. Having things thrown at you, even though it wasn't their hands. Those sorts of tactics where, you know, well, I didn't touch you. It's so incredibly manipulative. And again, increasingly dangerous. So what I would say to do is you have to get your finances in order and make sure that you have access to money that cannot be removed from you, which means opening an account, probably at a separate bank, definitely at a separate bank, opening an account somewhere else, changing passwords, changing PIN codes, changing all of anything that someone could access personal information for you.
That must have been a really scary time for you.
Yeah. When
trying to put this all together to leave, to be able to be financially secure when you, maybe not even secure, but just financially you have something. What was going through your head at that time? Did you have anyone that you were talking to or anyone that you could at least, you know, share what was happening?
I did have some that disappointed me in the most significant ways, and some that surprised me in the most beautiful ways. So
isn't that the case? It's the ones that, you know, you kind of count on that you're like, oh, they'll be there for you. And then they're not. And then the ones that come out of left field are like, what?
Yeah. I think that in order for like what you need to do and who you need to talk to, you need to be really, really selective and really careful and really spend time processing your own emotions rather than looking externally for validation. When you're in a situation where your reality is challenged daily, you know, the sky's green, not blue, you tend to, it's like drowning. You don't know which way is up. You don't know which way is up. And when you're that confused, it can make it very confusing for other people also, because it can be all over the place. Mm-hmm. So I think there was something really beautiful about COVID coming in when it did. For me, this lockdown situation where calendars were cleared and no one was going anywhere doing anything, because it forced me into some solitude that was discomfort, you know, incredibly uncomfortable. But that's how we grow. And that's really, it's getting quiet that you can really hear what's going on.
That's so powerful what you just said. Because so many people, when they're going through a really, you know, significant relaunch, we're just like, put on the blinders, just go.
Yeah.
Keep going as fast as you can, because it's an uncomfortable place to be.
I can't, there is so much to do. There is a lot to do. But it'll all get done. You can do it. And alone is better than being in something unhappy and unhealthy. And your children, I did for so long, I was like, it's for my son. And all your kids want is to see you happy. All they want.
Can you please just say that again?
All your children want is to see you happy, because it's not about what you say. It's about how you be. That's what they see. And it's the consistency over and over and over. So when you are always tense and uptight and scared and anxious, they feel that. So no matter what messaging you're telling them, it doesn't matter. Because you're creating a lot of confusion for them, really, if you tell them one thing and then are behaving a different way.
They feel the energy.
Right.
Totally do. So yeah. Jennifer, you make this huge move. You're in COVID, you're locked down, you're given the opportunity to have what I call, you know, the big pause, the pause principle of being able to just stop. Mm-hmm. And as a single mom, there's a freeingness to it, as well as there's like a lot of pressure that comes with all of a sudden being that single mom. Can you share your experience?
Okay. This may be an unpopular opinion, but I feel really, really strongly that women, no matter what your relationship status, we always need to be able to take care of ourselves and our children financially. Always. No matter what else is going on. Because even if we're not doing that necessarily actively, you need to have the ability to do that. I've heard so many stories of people where there was an unexpected event or they uncovered something about what they thought was a very healthy and happy marriage where it wasn't, and then they had to go provide. I think it's really important in order to move into any other phase of your life, because it gives you that freedom of choice. I had the ability to take care of myself and my son, and it was still really difficult to make that decision. I cannot imagine how frozen you would feel if you weren't able to do that. So I encourage people to really, really look at that in their lives, again, whether you made it or not.
You know, this actually happened in my family in 87, the stock crash. And or the financial crisis, I think that it was really. And what happened was my stepdad hadn't really, my mom never really asked to see any of the finances, didn't really, you know, just assumed everything was great and they had money and all that. And then all of a sudden he comes to her and says, I don't know how it happened, but I've lost it all. And she's like, all like, what do you mean? And it was a time where I was a senior in high school and it was just like, what? And I mean, I talk about it and I don't talk about that specifically, but I talk about my mom asking if we could paint the house and my stepdad saying, we have no money to paint the house. So my mom ended up doing it and ended up later getting a divorce and trying to create her own, what she called her nest egg, right? And I think you just said is so important for people to realize that you have to have exposure to the finances. You have to understand.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and I did that from my first marriage and my second, you know, that I'm in right now, that I'm always like, I run the spreadsheets. I'm the one who, you know, tracks everything.
Yeah.
Have that trauma around like, what does it mean? We have no money. Like, what, how did that happen? Mom. And I remember her just like, so thank you for bringing that up because it is something that you have to take ownership of.
And look, sometimes things happen out of someone's control. I mean, it could have been a terrible mistake. There could have been a, you know, bad investment scheme involved. There's so many ways that people can be victims and lose things. So you're right. And I think I would also like to say that it would be really refreshing if women in general, we could drop this whole thing where like being dumb about this stuff is cute. Because it's not cute to not know what your mortgage is.
Jessica, you're going there. You're saying
what you both are.
Yeah, we need, you do. Thank you for saying that. Yes. This business that I wasn't good at, you know, I'm not good at math. I don't understand finances. I don't like it. First off, if you're running a business, you got to like it.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's business.
Absolutely.
So really, and we could talk about this forever. And I'm looking at the time. I'm like, I got to get to these like incredible. Yeah. You then decided in probably a lot of what we just said that you wanted to start a business. You wanted to take it into your own hands. Can you share with us that process of all of a sudden, like, I'm going to do this?
Yeah. So the year before I filed for divorce was when I opened up my own consulting business. And it started basically working for one main client at a time. So it looked very different when I started it as it does today. And that was that kind of relaunch during COVID that I had referred to earlier. But that was also, you know, I think that relaunch of leaving working for someone and starting my own business, that was the relaunch before the relaunch of my personal life and getting all these things in order. And it's funny, even though it was intentional, each of those moves that I made, looking back and seeing the enormity of what happened in a 3-year span, it's a little
There's a lot of relaunches there.
I don't think I realized when I filed for divorce that we were having a pandemic where everything would be shut down 6 months later. But gosh, thank goodness that I did when I did, or else we would have been stuck in a house together. And that would have been
terrible,
terrible. So, you know, it's just amazing the way when it happens, it feels like it's all at once. But then when you look at kind of the span, how it all really fell into place exactly when it needed to.
Totally. So when you talk about appreciated asset business solutions, and you talk about often this idea of a disruptor.
Yeah.
A lot of us want to be disruptive. We want to be, you know, an influencer in our space. But mm-hmm. How do you help women to become one, to become a disruptor?
I think so many of us already are, but we're not owning it, right?
Brilliant comment right there.
It's just about teaching us to like show up. Look, I've been called disruptive my whole life, and it usually was not as a compliment. When I brought, kind of this came about a few years ago with our disruptor designer and a real specialty in working with industry disruptors, it was because I realized that that's where we did our best work. That was the psychographic for us, where we had the best partnerships, the best collaboration, and the most space to really create something special. And
before you continue, though, there might be confusion out there in what exactly, how are you defining, how are you defining being a disruptor?
That's a good question, because honestly, I think no matter who you ask, it could be a subjective answer, right? For me, a disruptor is someone who stands outside the status quo and who operates in a way where they provide service, product, service that is so far superior from the industry standard that you're basically eliminating the perceived competition from consideration. It's someone who is not afraid to rock the boat, who wants to be bold and say, look, just because it's always been done this way does not mean it always has to be done this way. And I realized that we were disrupting lead generation, the traditional lead gen that was out there. Because the way we operate is so vastly different, we have no competition. No one does what we do. My business model is completely unique.
It would be ridiculous if I didn't ask. Okay, so tell us how, like, what does that mean? What does it mean you're doing that in this space and there's no sales out there?
We specialize in prospecting and appointment setting. I've been in sales my whole career leading up to this.
People are probably thinking, like, okay, that's good, because there's a lot of companies that do that.
There are
prospecting. Great. So how do you show up as a disruptor?
We reach out consultatively to our client's prospect wish list. So rather than calling, pretending we are the client, pitching and selling, we call for appreciated asset and we recommend. We do this after really strongly vetting each of our clients. So this isn't like off the cuff, right? We really know who our clients are and do a really deep dive in our discovery process. And we recommend them. So rather than trying to sell or close anyone, we are educating people about phenomenal solutions they need to know about, and then introducing them to the people that to have that next level conversation. It's a really different approach.
It's totally different. And you also do something which I'd like you to discuss in terms of sales. There's so many misconceptions around it.
Yeah.
Right. How do you, again, you're doing it differently, but what do you think are those biggest misconceptions?
So I was trained in classic sales training in New York City with that straight line pitch where you hear an objection and you do the rebuttal tout close and you do that really hard close and push. And I was good at it, like really good at it. And it works to get you transactions, but it does not work to build you relationships. Because typically in a situation like that, you are not building a relationship based on value. It's on speed or price. And guess what? When someone can come behind you and cut you by 3% or 5% faster, they're gone because you didn't have a relationship that was built on value in collaboration. Is that enough for you?
Yeah. And as I was thinking about this, because it's so funny, I also took my training in New York. I worked with a company, Xerox, and they sent me, and part of the principles that they were teaching was Neil Rackman's spin selling. And it was very like, very regimented, right? And then I get into Oracle and I'm in 20 plus deals 1 month. And I'm like, okay, the only way I'm going to be able to do this is start to feel it from my heart. Like, how am I? Because if I keep going head-based and I try to do the four steps and the five here and all this, it's never going to work. So I really appreciate what you're saying there. And mindset is such a key component. How are you seeing? Because mindset, when we were kind of in our younger years, it was you didn't talk about mindset. You didn't talk about emotion. You didn't talk about intuition, or you would have been laughed right out. Mm-hmm. But now it's a huge part of it. And so how do you go like and work with somebody and let them know that this is such a critical part of success?
Well, I think we use certain prompts when we are creating our messaging that speaks directly to the prospect, right? You'll never hear me talking about pain points because I think it's cringy. You won't hear me talking about kind of some of those typical straight line sales strategies. And I don't even really think what we do is sales anymore, to be honest. I think that mostly what we do is we're mostly in education. Outreach, cold outreach, but we really educate rather than sell anyone anything. I think that when you're looking at the different ways to message for a client, you really want to remember not just about who the client is, but who the client's ideal prospect is. So one of the things that we do is we take their ideal demographics, right? Size, location, all those things you can filter for the radio button. Then we cross-reference it with their ideal psychographics. So the psychographics are the things that create commonality and chemistry, values alignment, right? You ever get on the phone with someone, kind of like our first call, we're like, oh my God, of course we're going to do stuff together. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Because we have aligned psychographics, and there are a few. We're both women business owners, have been through the single mom game. We both have huge dreams and are really unapologetic about what we want to create. And we also want to elevate women and give them the tools that they need to get themselves into better situations. So there's so many, you see how many like aligned psychographics you and I have? Our aligned psychographics, like for appreciated asset, are businesses that are instructors. They're disruptive where they want to be. And I'll tell you, people will hand raise. They will self-select. And more importantly than that, they will self-select out too. If someone doesn't identify like that, they don't see the value in that, we're not for them.
Absolutely. That's important. Now, one of the things that when we first started talking and there's a lot of people talk about work-life balance, blah, blah, blah. And we started to go a little deeper, and it was, how do we redefine having it all? How can you be, as you know, we both were single moms, and even if, you know, no kids, have kids, married, not married, it's still at some point you're going to relaunch into this next best version of you. Mm-hmm. And I love how you talk about redefining having it all for yourself. Talk more about that.
So you have to drop the guilt. The guilt is like other people's expectations of what you think that they think you should be. That's all it is. So just drop it. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. It's really dumb. And I get pangs of it sometimes. I'm like, no, that's stupid. If you think that every day you're going to eat well, exercise, spend tons of quality time with your family, cook them organic meals, work a full day, what else are we supposed to be doing? Oh, be mindful.
I was going to say, get in everything. There's your checklist, your to-dos.
And our meditation and our yoga and our walk and like all the things that if you think you're going to get to the end of every day and have all that in place, you're crazy and you're absolutely setting yourself up to fail. And look, a lot of these systems, a lot of what is expected of us, we've always been set up to fail. So let's, again, drop it. Someone else decided that for us. We never made those decisions. If you can get to the end of every week and look back and say that I'll just say me instead of you. I will say me. If I can get to the end of every week and say that I tried something new, that I built my business, pushed things forward, spent some quality time with my family, sometimes did something spontaneous, moved my body. I'm still working on that, to be honest. It's not a priority right now. It needs to be. I want it back, but I'm all about being honest about that. Had some time with friends, had some time for myself, took a nap on a Sunday. If I can look at a week and say that I was able to do a lot of different things, that to me is balance. That to me is having it all.
That is so, that's what everyone, it's not, and don't think about her list. Think about your own.
You're right.
I personally raised my hand when you said Sunday nap. Oh my God, that is like a home run for me. And I think that that was the main reason. It was the end of the week feeling like I had, you know, corporate guilt when I was at Oracle. I should be at work. Nope. I should be at home. Nope. I should be at work. Then I became an entrepreneur and I was traveling all around raising capital for my companies. I mean, always that feeling like I'm not where I'm supposed to be.
Always. And
I believe that that is why the one thing that I created, which was the tune in process to elevate your energy for success. And you can call on it 1 minute, multiple times a day. And that changed the way I was able to show up. So at the end of the day, I could say, you know what? I didn't complete everything I was supposed to do, but man, I did these few things and I did them well. So when I heard you say that, I'm like, I mean, that is so in step with what I believe as well. So as we wrap up right now, I would love for you to tell people, where can people find you and that initial process of working with you?
Sure. So our website is appreciatedasset.com. If you want to get in touch, there's a few different ways to do that. You can get on our email list. You can book a call with me right on there if interested. I'm also on all the socials. So.
And is it a free call initially?
Just oh, yeah, of course.
Free call, everyone.
Totally. And we've got some really exciting ways that we are going to be serving our community. I'm not a coach. We are strategists, but we've got some really exciting ways that we're serving our audience, and I'm really excited to share that. That will be coming out soon. Hillary, you will be top of the list to find out about what we're doing. And I feel like this is a year where I'm seeing this, where businesses, people are stepping up. We are taking control of our businesses. We are leaning into ourselves and really doubling down on that investment. And that's what I really want to leave people with, is like, when you make these decisions, when you relaunch, you have to go all in.
And you have to go all in with people that can short the line from where you are right now to where you want to go.
Yes.
More than that, we are not here for what's going to happen in 2, 3, 5 years. Heck no. What's going to happen from now until the end of this year?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. So Jennifer, thank you so much for being here. Such incredible wisdom. Thank you for being so vulnerable, so open, authentic. My God, I think it is going to resonate with so many people. And, you know, you've heard these heart-wrenching stories. You've heard about how we potentially have it all, how we move forward. Don't sit idle. Make things happen for yourself. Think about, what does this mean? What is this conversation? How does it light you up? And so at this point, you got to live now, love now, and look at how you right now today can relaunch now. Everyone will be back next week, and I hope you have a good one. Take care.
All right, that's a wrap for today's episode of the Relaunch Podcast. If you felt a spark, a shift, or a little nudge from our show today, why not leave a 5-star review on iTunes? It helps us spread the word, so please share this episode with someone who could use that same spark. Make sure to check out therelaunch.com/podcast for the goodies from today's episode. And remember this, right now is your golden opportunity to shift and relaunch into the life you've always imagined. Let's continue to build our own powerful stories of resilience and reinvention. Until next time, ready, set, relaunch.